Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning we want to take a look at God's Word. And if you have your Bible, why don't you go ahead and open up to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. While you're turning there, I know that every one of us in this room, we all face battles and challenges and difficulties. They may vary in their magnitude. They may vary in the area of our life where we have encountered different struggles, battles, challenges, whether they are things that we brought on ourselves or whether we are just, you know, we're in this life and it rains on everybody, the just and the unjust, and there's challenges. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. My hunch is that we all have, but have you ever gone into something and it was just the slightest, really in perspective, it was just a little bit of a challenge, and yet you lost it. You couldn't handle it. It overwhelmed you. Whether it was maybe you were tired, maybe, you were hungry. You know, do you ever notice when people get really hungry, they can also get a little... Okay, that's my cue to preach short and quick and get you to lunch, right? Go without food, you sometimes get a little irritable. I know that in my past, if I was to take and fast for some extended days, I'll tell you, around about day two or three, I got a little irritable. It was always great to either go on a fast that was only one day, or if it was extended, get past day two and three, and then I was fine. But Ron, just for me, day two or three were always, you know, get a little hungry and you just get a little irritable. You're not at the top of your game. All kinds of things can affect how we handle difficulty, and sometimes we, you know, face the littlest thing and we just start whining about it or complaining about it, or, you know, we look at other people. We start, all of a sudden, we go to this ledger, or this scale, and we measure, you know, why it's so hard on us, and look at so-and-so. And they do less right than we do, and yet, you know, this is what's happening to me. What's the deal? Don't you see? Don't you care, God? And we go round the bush, and we throw out different things like that. Some of you, maybe you've done that in the past. You're past some of those arguments. I don't know where you're at, but I want us to look at the scripture this morning, because Jeremiah brings his little bit of a complaint to the Lord in the form of a prayer, of course. And he wasn't being disrespectful. He was just, you know what? He was sharing his observation. He was sharing his concern. He was sharing his own wonderment. He was sharing his own hurt. And the Lord responds in chapter 12, verse 5, and this is what he says. The Lord begins to say to him, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?" Let's read it again. "If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?" Understand the concept is, you know, you're running through life, going through life, and you face these challenges, and he puts it in light of a race. You've been racing with other people, and it's worn you out. How in the world are you ever going to advance and carry out bigger responsibilities, or how are you going to face bigger challenges? How are you going to face the horses? And he goes on and he says, "If you have stumbled in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? you stumbled in safe country, how are you going to handle it in the thickets? How are you going to make it? You know, if we're struggling over small things and little things and we're just not making it through real well, how are we going to carry out bigger responsibilities? How are we going to carry out the more demanding things or the more challenging things in our life? This is what God is saying to him. He's saying, you know, I've got bigger plans, and they create bigger challenges, but I have greater promises, and it's going to take greater faith to get there. You know, he refers to the thickets by the Jordan. You know, most of the time when the Jordan is mentioned, you have to remember that the Jordan in their history has always brought them back to, oh yeah, that's where we cross into the promises of God. Remember? Egypt? Leaving Egypt? And God's people wander through the wilderness, and there's a reason for all of that. And they come to the Jordan, because on the other side of the Jordan is the promised land that God was going to give them. So anytime that Jordan is referred to, it's usually in light of the promise. And God's saying, how are you, you know, if you can't walk without stumbling in safe country, where it's relatively easy, how are you going to make it in the thickets down by the Jordan when you're about to break through into what I've promised you? Now, the thickets by the Jordan, you get a visual of what a thicket is. Maybe you don't know what a thicket is. If you spend any time in the woods, the forest at all, if you've hunted and you are not a road hunter or a trail hunter, you're going to know what a thicket is. And it's usually, ready? It's usually thick. It's profound, isn't it? Thick. Where stuff wraps around you, it's hard to walk. But here's the deal. They understood it. You have to remember in their context, the Hebrew context in mind, it's not just that it was, how are you going to make it through the thickets? You have to remember that in their thinking, the thicket always represented something, and it represented this. That is where the lions wait. It's where they hide. If you can't make it in safe country, how are you going to make it when it's dangerous, treacherous? How are you going to make it when the lions are hiding in the thicket and they're watching you? You ever watch those wilderness shows on TV? Every once in a while, I like to watch one if it's, you know, I like big cats. I'm not a cat fan. You know, I'm a guy who struggles with allergies with house cats. So, but I like watching big cats. Learning about them, watching a show on them, that kind of thing. And you know, they get down. They raise up a little bit. I mean, you're getting the visual and you can kind of see the tops of their head. You can see their eyes and the camera's there and it's watching them. And they start their, you know, their prowl. And God's saying, you know, if you stumble in safe country, how are you going to make it in what are dangerous moments and, when you're about to break through into the promises that I've given you? Because God has made promises to you. The interesting thing, for example, like the financial peace class, I've talked to a couple people and say, you know, the principles are good and it's exciting, but you know, then you got to go home and you have to do it. And it's like, oh, there's that challenge. It's like, it's wonderful, it's exciting to think about in its idea, but then I got to do this. And the challenge is greater in the doing than just in the realization. And the things in our life we can realize, but then when we go to play it out and we go to follow and we go to keep in step with God, sometimes there's challenging things along the way to breaking into His promise. Sometimes the closer we get to the promise, you ever notice the enemy of our soul seems to turn up the intensity of intimidation? The intensity of, you know, trying to distract us, deceive us, so that we don't cross over into the promise, so that life doesn't really change for us, that we just stay where we're at, worn out running with men. When God has called us to run with horses, conquer great things in our life, empower us to do so, to face great challenges. I don't know about you, but have you ever had cyclical things happen in your life? Where you face something, it didn't go so well, but you got through it. And then it kind of comes around again. Well, maybe the face changed, or the scenario changed, but it was the same principle, the same challenge, that we failed last time, or that we didn't really make it through all that well last time. And it keeps coming around. And we handle it the same way. And it comes around again. And it's this cyclical pattern throughout our life. Did you ever think for a moment that maybe it's because we've never really conquered it? And before we can move on, this is something we've got to be able to deal with. We think that's worn us out. Well, how will we ever move on and accomplish maybe some of the dreams that we have, or step into some of the promises we've hoped for in our life? Because these little things have worn us out. There are people who eventually age and time has passed them by and some of the opportunities have passed by. And a little late now for them to do some of those things, and yet they had so much potential in their lifetime. So much potential. So much giftedness. And yet, because they didn't conquer some things, they didn't learn how to live in races with humans, with people, and were able to finish the race and run well, that they've never went on to bigger responsibilities or never accomplished greater challenges in life, or that they stumbled in safe country, therefore they never could make it, where things were more dangerous and closer to receiving the promises. We gave way, we gave out, we maybe were undisciplined or whatever it was. And God's addressing this to Jeremiah. He's saying, here are these challenges and I hear your complaints, but if you can't learn to walk through with me on these simpler things, these lighter things, how will you ever arrive at where I'm calling you and wanting to bring you? There are people in this sanctuary, they're probably sitting next to you or near you. They've had some dreams. And we all have dreams and we've all had desires. And some were just maybe wild dreams and wild desires and all those kind of things. But you've had other hopes and dreams. And some of them, you know what? They could have been accomplished. And they still can be. But when the cyclical thing comes around, maybe we need to do something different and find out what that different thing is, so that we are able to move closer to the promise and the promises that God has for us, the callings He has for you, the desire He has for you. Find out what prevents us, what prevents me, what stops me. You see, if we were to look in Genesis chapter 4, God speaks very clearly to Cain and He gives him this imagery that really fits what He's saying in Jeremiah. And if you will turn to Genesis chapter 4, we'll read verse 6 and verse 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Now I want to pause here. When we usually get worn out on something, that's kind of how we get. We get frustrated or we get angry. We get down. We get a little depressed. We just, you know, got that look. And God's saying, why do you have that? Why are you angry? Why are you so downcast? Why do you look so depressed? Because He gives him the answer. He says, if you do what is right, there it is. There it is. If we do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what is not right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Here's the imagery. You're in your house. There's the door, the threshold, and outside your door, sin is crouched like a lion in a thicket, ready to pounce, ready to destroy you. But if you do what is right, you will master it. The cyclical thing in our life that keeps coming around, and we just don't deal with it differently. We keep doing the same thing. We get the same results. And it keeps coming around. What is it, I have to ask myself, that I'm not doing right that I need to change to do right so that I can get out of just safe country and get on with and move ahead in my faith, in my life, in the practice of life to be able to get to the place where I can cross over into God's promises rather than shrinking back, doing the same thing and saying, well, I guess just, you know, it's God's will that I don't get there. Or it's God's will that I don't have it. Or it's God's will that I don't have this opportunity. Or it's... When there is human responsibility involved in this expression of faith and who is calling us to become something or do something or accomplish something in our life. It's crouching outside our door that... You know, it always starts at the basic part with God, doesn't it? It has to do with sin. And I'm not saying that we haven't done some things in our life because of sin. It could just be that, you know, we were undisciplined and we can call that sin. Or, well, we just haven't conquered some things. But if we do what's right, if we change and do some things that are right, and God goes right away with Cain to the sin issue. He says, you know what? If your heart wasn't corrupt, if you do what is right instead of trying to do things just your own way. Remember, Cain was trying to get his offering accepted to God, but what he was offering is not what God was requiring. We like to offer sometimes that which isn't required. Because maybe it's our interest or it's what we like or it's an easy way for us. Rather than offering or doing what is right in God's sight and thinking, well, it still involves sacrifice, therefore it must count for something. God's not asking for sacrifice. What means the most to him? Obedience. That's what God says in his word. It's not the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats that I desire, it's obedience. And he tells Cain, do what's right. So these things come around, and they wear us out when they are actually things that, you know what, you can conquer. With the Lord's help and Lord's instruction, you can conquer. And if we are faithful in the small challenges, if we are faithful in the smaller things, in the smaller battles, in the smaller conflicts, guess what? He gives what? Right? Matthew chapter 25. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew 25, verse 21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things or the little things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness. If we're faithful with little, he gives much, right? Now, we have to be careful because our mind can quickly go to the context that if I'm faithful with little things like the few bucks I have, the little bit of money I have, whoo-hoo, he's going to give me much. You know, money's going to rain from heaven down on me. This isn't just about money. This is about being faithful and doing what's right in little things so that he will put us in charge of much. Or he will give much. It's things like this. It's sometimes the little conflict that comes in. The little wedge that comes in. The little bait that's dangled in front of us. If we deal with that right, If we respond appropriately, then guess what? Greater is the responsibility now and the challenges to go on and accomplish so much more. I've watched people. I've been in conversations where somebody says something and somebody just took it wrong. They took it personal. It wasn't even intended that way. And boy, they got the nose out of joint. They got all angry. They got all upset. They're just so hurt. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not how we're supposed to walk through this. And it keeps coming around for them. And it keeps coming around. And it keeps coming around. And then they have a pity party. And then they just think, you know, it's always me and always so hard. And look at other people. And I didn't hurt nobody. And we couldn't walk through the tiniest little conflict in safe country. How in the world are we going to ever face the lions and walk across the Jordan into the promises of God? And we blame God and we blame other people. How are we supposed to walk through it? If we're faithful in these little conflicts, you know what? He's going to move you on to greater responsibility. You know, some of us wonder, you know, why haven't I done this? Or why wasn't I called by a friend to do this? Or why wasn't I called by the pastor to do this? Or why wasn't I called a notice for this? Or why would I... Maybe God has noticed in our life some little things. Not people, but God. He said, you know what? You can dream of that, and you have the gifting for it, but guess what? You've not conquered this. You want to know one of the keys to really advancing in the Lord? And the principle doesn't change. It's not like you just conquer it one time and now you're all set. And you got it behind you. It's ongoing. You want to know one of the greatest things? It's humility. To moving ahead in God takes humility. If we can't take orders from our parents, how in the world are we ever going to take orders from God? I mean, because the orders of our parents, they're usually temporal. There's some instruction. It's clean your room. It's do this. It's whatever it is. But when God gives orders, there are eternal things that hang in the balance. Important things. Life things. And yet we don't have enough humility to honor or listen to our parents. How in the world are we going to ever accept the orders and direction from God when we can't accept orders from our manager or our supervisor or our husband? If we can't make it in safe country, if we get worn out and bent out of shape of just running with people, we'll never run with horses. You know, you've heard the old saying, you know, I'd love to soar with the eagle, but I'm surrounded by turkeys. It's that concept. Well, I could make it if somebody would just notice me and I wasn't surrounded. It's everybody else's fault. Let me tell you something. It's not about people noticing you. It's about God's eye who runs to and fro over the earth, looking for the righteous. And when his eye falls on someone. And when it says much responsibility, it doesn't mean that it has to be a big program, and it doesn't mean that it has to be lots of people. It just means that the challenge and the responsibility is great in God's eyes. So don't measure it by human standards. We have to look through God's eye, through God's understanding. And some of us in this room, the tiniest thing gets us all bent out of shape. And we want to be promoted, and we want to be noticed, and we want to... Whoa, wait a minute. You want to go far with the Lord? You walk in humility. Walk in humility before Him. And humility is not downing yourself. Humility is not purposely holding yourself back when there's opportunity and say, no. That's not humility. Humility is understanding what God is saying and what He's calling and walking ahead in it, even in the middle of misrepresentation and misunderstanding by your colleagues or your friends. If you can't honor your parents telling you to be home by 10 o'clock because you're embarrassed to tell you're not going to be home by 10, everybody else can say, oh, how embarrassing. How in the world are you ever going to follow the Lord and what He calls you to do when your friends look at you sideways like you're nuts? Because they don't live by the same principles of God's word that you do. And we can all sit here and say, yeah, that's right. I hope these young kids hear it. The principle hasn't changed for you and I. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how old we are. The principle's still the same. That we couldn't take instruction, or we couldn't take correction, or we couldn't take direction, or we couldn't, whatever it is. How is it that we think if we're worn out with that, that we can make it by the thickets of the Jordan when God starts commanding? And when God starts telling? When God starts speaking, He says to Jeremiah, you can have all these complaints, and I hear them. But you know what? If these things have worn you out, you're never going to make it to the promise that I've called you to. And some of us in this room, there are some things that we keep dealing with, keep coming around, and it's usually inward things. You know what? It's these little things have worn us out, and we wonder why we haven't gone further in the Lord. And it's these little things that have kept us back. It's not somebody else's fault. It's these little things. Listen, God knows how to find a boy on the backside of a mountain who's alone watching sheep and bring him to a throne. David wasn't out there with banners in a promotional committee. He wasn't. God knows. God's eye knows. He knows how to run to and fro over the earth and His eye to fall on somebody and to raise them. But He knows what it is for them to be faithful. Because see, David was taking care of the bear and the lion out there in the wilderness that was trying to steal sheep. Laying his life down, conquering for sheep. And God saw that and knew that. And He looked at that young boy and said, you know what? If he's taking on the lion and the bear to protect sheep, I know he'll lay his life down for that which is more important, and that is for my people. So I'm going to bring him to this throne. And he will rule over my people, and he will be the king that all other kings will be compared to. Listen, if the littlest thing is wearing us out, then we got to get back with the Lord and say, okay, this little thing keeps having my lunch. Maybe it's a habit, maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a cyclical thing that just comes around and we always trip over it, though the people and the names and the faces and the environment might change. It's still coming around. Do you ever notice that? You can move away and live somewhere else and think you have a brand new start, but you brought all the junk that's inside. Nothing changes. Just the faces are different. That's it. It's because God is wanting to teach us something, because He has a promise that He's going to accomplish and give to you in your life. He wants to bring you somewhere. I know the plans I have for you. They're not to harm you, not to hurt you, not to frustrate you. It's not to toy with you. It's not to tease you. My plans are to prosper you and give you hope and give you a future. That's what God has for people. But if we're getting worn out through all these little things, how can we ever expect to receive any greater responsibility or anything we even ask in prayer before the Lord? How can that happen? See, God has a plan and a purpose. But when the little conflicts come our way, rather than taking it personal and jumping all over it, maybe we need to look at it and say, here is an opportunity. Here's an opportunity that has come my way, and yeah, it may have hurt me and it may have stung if I take this personal, but here's an opportunity for me to walk through this like I'm supposed to walk through this. And I can walk through it humbly, and I can walk through it graciously, and I don't feel like I've got to argue my point, and I got to try to walk away with the winning side of the argument, so I'm going to shout louder even though I'm arguing to the point of absurdity. Going to argue until they give in. Going to do it my way. No, we just communicate, walk through it graciously, use our words with restraint, honor the Lord with the attitude of our heart, make sure nothing hooks it, takes root and grows inside us. Why outwardly we're trying to look like a Christian, but inside it's becoming corrupt every passing second. God sees to the heart. We're tripping up over some little things. And it's not just the little things that trip us up, but that we need to do right and manage well. But what about when God gets near and how we respond to the small blessings or the gentle nearness of the Lord? What do you think is going to bring more? What do you think is going to bring him closer for longer? What do you think is going to release more and more blessing? It's how we respond to the blessing and the visitation that comes before us at that moment. And we can recite Habakkuk. And we can pray, God, renew him in our day, in our time. Make your wonderful things known to us. Oh, Lord, yeah, do them in our day. And he comes close in the service, and he does some things, and he touches people, and we're warmed by it, and we think, woo-hoo, it's starting. But once we walk out, we don't build off it. Then we weren't faithful with the little, were we? We just experienced it, whoopee-woo, yay, yay, yay. And then it was over and ignored until I come back again. But because we haven't built off it, we got to start all over again. Until we learn to build off the little and be faithful with the little and not worn out by the little, that we can step up to greater blessing and we can step up to greater challenge and we can step up because our character is developing. The fruits of the Spirit are there and the empowerment of God is with us. And now we can make it through dangerous situations where the breath of the lion we can feel on the back of our neck, but we're still walking to the promise and we're walking there clean because we're doing what's right, not what we've always done.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.